I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
All right, so here we go. Given that WrestleMania 40 is coming up, I thought we should do our own weird celebration. So, in a stupid way, I am going to go through WrestleManias 1 through 39, and I'm going to pick one up, and I'm going to pick one down from every single show. So get your tuchus, put it in a chair, put on that coffee, and let's up those downs, essentially, for the entirety of WrestleMania. So, of course, we start with WrestleMania 1, even though it wasn't called WrestleMania 1, it's just called WrestleMania, and I'm getting it to the main event, because, man, it's absolutely hilarious. I mean, for starters, Mr. T almost didn't go ahead with it, because he thought Ronnie Piper was going to beat him up for real. And in terms of the match, I'll just be honest with you, it's an absolute farce. Muhammad Ali is also here as a special guest referee, but then it turns out he's just the enforcer, because he didn't understand the referee rules. And the finish is Bob Orton accidentally hitting Paul Orndorff, which leads to the 1-2-3. Could you imagine doing that in a WrestleMania main event now? Technically, we kind of did that last year. The Down is going to send you nuts as well, but I hold my hands up. There's nothing I can do. When you watch this whole thing start to finish, well, it ain't that great. I mean, the second match is King Kong Bundy just destroying a guy in about 8 seconds. So don't come at me and say, oh, when we did that with Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, it was so different and crazy. No, it wasn't. It's Vince McMahon. You also get an Intercontinental title match between the Junkyard Dog and Greg Valentine, which ends in a countout. Once again, you would piss a lot of people off now if you did it in 2024. That's why it's getting the Down. And we move on to WrestleMania 2. And my big question is, what the flub were we thinking? Because I suppose the powers that be were so confident in their new brand, they were like, ha ha, we can broadcast it from 3 different locations to 3 different crowds and have 3 different main events. It does not work. It also meant that in one of these markets, your last match was Mr. T versus Roddy Piper in a boxing bout. And I'm sure you can figure out how that goes. Down. With that said, though, the British Bulldogs versus the Dream Team for the WWF tag titles, well, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, the British Bulldog and Dynamite Kid just know what they're doing, and whereas Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake had their limitations, yeah, I watched it and I was like, yeah, that was okay, I suppose. So you can see what's happened here. WrestleMania 2 ain't that good either, but I'll give that one a lap. Which moves on to WrestleMania 3, and come on now. Not that hard. Because of course you think that I'm going to say that the up goes to Hulk Hogan finally slamming Andre the Giant, but I'm not going to do that because once again, this is probably where the idea of a WrestleMania moment started, but if you want to watch the whole thing, you'd be tapping your watch going, get on with it. Where the hell's the slam, man? Just do the slam. Because in that sense, if we are talking bell to bell, and again, you know where I'm going with this, you have to give it to the Macho Man versus Ricky Steamboat for the Intercontinental Championship, because in many ways, this was a blueprint to the wrestling we were going to get today. And hilariously, back in the mid-80s, people were moaning about it then too. But I'm going to give it an up. Still rules. It's why I'm going to spin you again and actually give a down to Hulk Hogan versus Andre. Goodbye comments. Like, look, don't get me wrong. The last minute or so is brilliant, and watching 90,000 people or whatever it was go crazy will make you feel warm and fuzzy in your tum-tum. But for the rest of it, Andre the Giant clearly is not the man he once was. Hulk Hogan doesn't do much of anything. I mean, don't shoot the messenger, even though it is just my opinions. I'm saying down, I'm getting out of here. As we get to WrestleMania 4, and you know the deal, the tournament was just a bad idea. Now, of course, this can work, because we saw it somewhere like Survivor Series 1998. That was far much more fun than this one. There's like 14 matches on WrestleMania 4. Look at me, my back is broken. So it's just a chore to watch today. I don't think WWE would do this in 2024, because even they know down. Thankfully, though, we do get the ending right, because the Macho Man Randy Savage finally becomes a WWF champion. Randy had deserved it long before this as well, but of course was living in Hogan's shadow for a long old time. And actually, the match between him and Ted DiBiase, well, it's all right. Once again, this was just makes me feel good in my tootsie toes kind of stuff. And another WrestleMania moment. Which leads us right into WrestleMania 5, and of course, because Savage had won that title, he was now taking on Hulkus Hogan. Now, I suppose these days, when you do sit down to watch the match, you can say the build is better. But that's all you need to do, man, is go watch some of this preamble, and then watch the two fight. You'll be seeing that lust in Hulk Hogan eyes as the mega powers implode. Of course, it's here where Hulk gets his belt back too. Seriously, this is still a right treat, especially when you do go watch all those vignettes. As for the down, well, it is Andre the Giant versus Jake Roberts with Big John Studd as the referee. We've already talked about the fact that Andre couldn't move at WrestleMania 3, so 2 years on, oh man, it just makes you feel terrible. And of course, the story was Andre the Giant is scared of snakes, so let's put him against the Snake Man. Well, it also ends ridiculously because Andre just decides, I hate you, Big John Studd, and he starts strangling them. So yeah, you get a disqualification. I mean, you may as well have had a guy come out with a sign that said, yeah, neither Jake or Andre wants to lose. Scale it down. Then we get to WrestleMania 6, and I suppose you do have to give it up to the main event. I mean, I watch it a little bit differently now, given all the things that we had learned. But I also remember being a fetus and tuning into this. I just couldn't believe it was happening. Because not only did you have Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior for the WWF title, it was also Babyface versus Babyface, and the IC belt was on the line too, like watching Marvel. So once again, it just goes back to this idea of a WrestleMania moment. This one is just ingrained in my brain all these years on. Can't fault that. As for down though, no question, Big Boss Man versus Akeem. Now the whole feud is based on the fact that the Twin Towers had fallen out, mostly because manager Slick kept going, oh, Akeem, you're so great. The Boss Man was standing like, what am I? Chop liver? Unbelievable. That's not really the issue here either, though. It's the fact it goes 1 minute and 49 seconds. So it's another one of these. But if you had bought into this program, well, someone just pulled your pants down. There's that word, down. And then I get a bit sad when we do move on to WrestleMania 7, because the down is going to come in the form of Tenryu and Kitao taking on Demolition. I mean, these guys had nothing to work with. For one, it's not Smash and Crush, so it's not the actual Demolition, but also, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that WWF didn't give a damn about the SWS promotion guys, even though they had made a business deal with the Japanese company. It just feels like everybody here was forced into it and it only goes a few minutes. I mean, it really shouldn't be on a WrestleMania card, and I feel bad saying that, but down. Wasn't even their fault. There's also way too many racist jokes in this too, but I'm gonna break my system here and throw in another down, because of course, this is the WrestleMania where Sergeant Slaughter is the Iraqi sympathizer. I'm gonna be 97, and this is still gonna be pissing me off. Stupid. What absolutely gets me up though is the Macho Man Randy Savage taking on the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, surely this is the best match of the Ultimate One's career, and you had the whole, oh my gosh, Randy Savage is gonna retire too. So easy to plug your emotional gland into this. I liked it a lot. And I'll tell you what's hilarious about WrestleMania 8, the main event of Hulk Hogan versus Psycho Sid. Now, Harvey Wimpleman did an interview recently where he said, no, nothing went wrong during this, and it went exactly to plan. He's gotta be lying, man. This is an absolute joke. Because the rumor has always been that Papa Shango was late for his run-in, therefore Sid had to kick out of the leg drop. And it certainly seems that way to me. And the attack they do on Hulkamania with all the voodoo, whatever it is, before the Ultimate Warrior makes his big return. I mean, that's pretty good. But again, this is the last thing on a WrestleMania, and I was going, tee-hee-hee, like I'm 10. So it's just a wonderful nightmare, which means I did get something out of it. But it wasn't the plan, man. Down. When it does come to the ups, I'm torn though, because you have to mention the Macho Man versus Ric Flair, especially given everything they've done before all this with Miss Elizabeth, and it's such a good match. But also, don't forget Roddy Piper versus Bret Hart for the IC title is also on this thing, so I am going to give both of them an up. That's right. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. If you want two matches to watch, they would be the ones. As we get to WrestleMania 9. And it's our first brown down. Because even all these years later, there is no excuse for this, because after Yokozuna has defeated Bret Hart after Mr. Fuji threw salt in his eyes, Hulk just comes to the ring and says, oh, I would like to have a match. And Yoko goes, oh yeah, I don't see a problem with that. And 10 seconds later, he lost his title and Hogan is back on top. Sucks. I mean, it makes Bret look like a moron. It makes Yokozuna look like the biggest moron. And also in hindsight, it makes Hulk Hogan look like a moron because the fans didn't want this and they were ready to move on, and now we hit rewind, point his brow down. I do want to point out that the actual match between the Hitman and Zunes is actually quite good, but again, it gets totally overlooked. So when it comes to the up, from nowhere, I'm going to give it to Tonka versus Shawn Michaels for the IC title. And this is mostly because you can see the Heartbreak Kid coming of age here. And when it comes to the Tonka, it proved this guy was actually pretty decent. He was just riddled with a very, very stereotypical gimmick that not many people could get over. It's getting me up. As we move on to WrestleMania 10, which is essentially the Hart Family tribute show. Bret versus Owen kicks things off as well, which is still one of the WWF's most classic of all matches, especially because Owen wins with the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. And the show also ends with Bret versus Yoko as the Hitman finally coronates himself. Finally the way. Seeing the locker room empty too to celebrate Bret's win is still so damn wonderful. So yeah, anything on WrestleMania 10 that has the Hart name attached to it, up. It didn't really go so well for Adam Bomb versus the Earthquake though. Now one time I actually thought Adam Bomb was the coolest guy ever. I remember being a kid and being like, oh my gosh, I love this guy. But as soon as WWF decided they didn't want to push him anymore, and when he decided to leave the company, well, he got sacked with this. Because Earthquake just attacks him from behind, gives him the Earthquake Splash, and beats him once again in about 30 seconds. What the flub was the point? Down. Now things get really interesting when we get to WrestleMania 11, because by this point people go, wait a minute, The Undertaker does have a little bit of an undefeated streak here, but he's also taken on King Kong Bundy. Do you think that is any good? Going to be horrible and stuff. Larry Young is also the referee and he clearly has no idea what's going on, and it's just so slow. And it's slow podding. I almost fell to sleep. Then I'm just going to give it a down. It's also an interesting pay-per-view because it's yet another one where the world title doesn't headline. That's getting up here. Shawn Michaels versus Diesel. Now, yes, Shawn is definitely going into business for himself here because he starts to bump around like a crazy person, but at least it made Big Daddy Cool look awesome, breaking him in two. Diesel also kept the championship, which actually did make sense here because the WWF were trying to make him the top babyface, even though they should have kept all his heel tendencies. Do you remember that? We switched him sides, and all of a sudden he was selling and being like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. No one wanted that. That was dumb. As we get to WrestleMania 12, and I did go through it, and you know what? I think the down should probably go to the Ultimate Warrior versus Triple H. Just because when you hear all the stories, it sounds rubbish. Because it was, of course, a big return for the Ultimate One, which I do understand. But he walked up to Triple H and said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to hit me with your finish. I'm going to get up instantly, give you the splash, and we're going to be out of there in 12 seconds. Once again, it's another one of these short matches. But these days, it doesn't work down. The up, though, is somewhat controversial in 2024, which was like a mad thing to say. But I'm going with the Iron Man match between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. Now, while it was a huge error to go 0-0 here and not have any falls, I think the last 5 minutes especially are brilliant. And actually, when you do go hold the whole thing, you can't help but respect what these two did. I mean, I don't think you'd ever do this at WrestleMania now. So they had some serious weight on their shoulders. And they executed it near perfectly. Again, if it ended like 3-2 or 5-4, this would have been thought of the world different. I'm still giving it up. WrestleMania 13 is easy for me because bring in the golden up. Goes right there for Bret Hart versus Steve Austin's submission match. It always blows my brain because Austin had no idea about this until he saw it on TV and then he freaked out. He was like, wait a minute, son, I don't have any submissions. Even with all that though, it is still my favorite match ever, and that double turn is just a masterclass in professional wrestling. This happening like a different time, still getting the golden up. We do have to go to the main event for the down though, because The Undertaker versus Psycho Sid, well, I suppose it's just okay. So I wouldn't call it bad or anything like that, but it is a little bit dull. Hence why you've got Shawn Michaels on commentary who's basically interfering. Flipping Bret Hart comes out wielding a chair. And I suppose that did help a little bit because it cemented Bret's heel turn, but it's still getting the down. And the only reason I didn't give it to the Sultan versus Rocky Maivia is because you can actually take loads from that match. You look at Maivia and go, well, that guy's going to become The Rock. That's crazy. And of course, the Sultan is the future Rikishi. I actually enjoyed it a lot. With WrestleMania 14 as well, Steve Austin doesn't actually like his big coronation moment when he took on Shawn Michaels. But I do, and every time I watch it, I remember being a young boy again and thinking, man, this dude is the coolest guy ever, and he becomes the champ. He's getting it up. Look what it did for the industry afterwards. I do want to give a shout out to The Undertaker versus Kane as well, because I loved all the story to that. It made me feel all woogly boogly in my tum tum. But the down is going to Aguila versus Takemichi Noku. Now look, it's nothing on those guys, but it was for the light heavyweight championship, whatever the flub we called it. Know how WWF felt about that division. They get no time, they get nothing and nothing. It's getting it down. As we move on to WrestleMania 15, we go right back to the Brown Downs. Because who the hell booked Bart Gunn against Butter Bean? I tell you, a mean person. This was all because, of course, Bart Gunn had accidentally won the Brawl for All, which was a dumb idea too. And I understand that Butter Bean was like a carnival boxer, but he was still a professional, and watch him almost kill Bart Gunn here. But it pisses me off. It never should have happened, Brown Down. And I know that means the Undertaker versus Boss Man in the Hell in a Cell gets a free pass. Although that does kind of tie in, because whereas Bart Gunn almost got killed for real, we did kill the big Boss Man in kayfabe. This match ends with him hanging from the Hell in a Cell. Whose idea was this? The main event, as we know, though, is absolutely brilliant because it's the first of our three Trilogy Mania matches between The Rock and Stone Cold. And some people like to go, this is the worst of the three. I don't do that. I'm just happy we did get this trio. Get it up. And then, I don't know what I call WrestleMania 16. Some people say it has to be called WrestleMania 2000. I don't want to do it. It's also not the best WrestleMania ever as there's so much filler here. But you also get Terry Runnels versus the Cat in a cat fight with Val Venus as a special guest referee. Now look, this was pretty distasteful then, and it's full on offensive now, down. It is a night where a brand new trend was essentially built though, because of course we do get the Hardys versus Edge and Christian versus the Dudleys in a ladder match, and man, does this hold up today. We'd also give birth to the TLC Madness, which is still running wild in 2024, so these guys deserve all the props. Some of the bumps are still absolutely terrifying. Get me up. Which brings us to WrestleMania 17, and we ask ourselves, is this the best WrestleMania of all time? I say yes. I'm also going to golden up the main event right away, because man, Austin versus Rock Part 2, apart from the ending, which I'm just going to ignore today, is so damn special. And when you watch all the video packages too, you'll be doing this because you've got so many goosebumps. Well, you also probably need to see a doctor. Give it a golden up. Obviously, it wasn't great afterwards because a million people stopped watching after the Rattlesnake turned heel. I suppose that almost ties into what we are going to talk about next, the women's title match between Ivory and China. Because this was during a period where China did not feel respected at all, to the point she didn't really think the women's title meant anything. So she just squashed Ivory here, and soon after this she would leave the company because nobody could come to terms on a new deal. That's just sad. China deserved more, down. And there's another easy one as we get to WrestleMania 18, because you can't look past Hulk Hogan versus The Rock. I mean, that crowd reaction, man, probably one of the best of all time. Everything about it is just a joy to watch, though, especially when The Rock decides, all right, you're going to boo me. I'm going to go heel on the fly. I mean, that takes a special kind of performer, and it's getting it up. Oddly, though, for me, the down comes in the form of Steve Austin versus Scott Hall, because given who was involved here, we could have done so much more, but real life kicked their ass. I mean, Austin feels marginalized on a WrestleMania, which should never be happening, and we all know the deal with Hall. Could never get past his personal demons. So this is just their man. And knowing now what we do know, well, it's not particularly fun to watch. Especially because Kevin Nash on the outside, kind of just looking on, and you can see it in his eyes too. Just getting it down. Thankfully, Austin is back with the right bang at WrestleMania 18, as he had his sort of last match against The Rock. This one packs an emotional punch. Now, nobody knew that he was going to do this, and makes it even crazier. But when The Rock finally gets his win, they're on the mat and they're whispering something to each other, you could just tell in the air that something had gone down. And again, now we have extra information. So if you do go back and watch it, well, it'll just make you lay on the floor. So I am a huge fan of this too, although I do find it gets overlooked. That's why I'm giving it the up. It's back to the streak for the down, though. Because this one is kind of hilarious. Because WWE just didn't know what to do with The Undertaker at this point, so he beats A-Train and The Big Show. Now, originally, Nathan Jones was meant to be involved in this. Then everyone decided Nathan Jones wasn't ready. So even though he does run in the end here, kind of screws up a spin kick. This is an absolutely chaotic farce. I mean, it will make you laugh, but it ain't no good, man.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Now we get to WrestleMania 20, and I find it mad we can get to such a seismic show and still be talking about this gubbin. Because it is Tori Wilson and Sable taking on Stacy Keibler and Miss Jackie in an evening gown match. In an evening gown match, honestly. Who was this made for, apart from the lowest of the low? I don't like it at all, Dan. For 2007 as well, I would have given the up to the main event, but as I've told you many times before, I personally can just not watch Chris Benoit matches anymore. But that's fine, because on this show, you do have Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle, and in many ways, that is the match of the night. It's also the finish where Eddie Guerrero slips out of his boot to get the win, and I tell you, you go back and watch this now, Eddie was just ahead of the game, absolutely one of the best of all time, as is Kurt Angle. Still don't think they get enough praises. Up. It is Batista and Triple H that get my up for WrestleMania 21, mostly because it's a nice timely reminder of what wrestling's meant to be. So as the story goes, Vince McMahon wanted to end this and blow it off in a few weeks, but Triple H went to him and went, no, brah, we have to extend to WrestleMania, which they did do. Batista won, and after that, he became a super-duper-whooper star, even though today, he is still very much underrated. Dude was really good. Up. The down is hilariously different too, because this is the evening when we did Akebono versus The Big Show in a sumo fight. Apparently the word of the street is, we only did this, we can go, ha ha ha, we put The Big Show in a nappy. Do you know how offensive that is and how disrespectful that is to sumo wrestling? Also, this should never have been a WrestleMania card. I understand we're going for something gimmicky, I just never want to see it again. It's a whole lot of nothing down. Candice Michelle and Tori Wilson had a pillow fight at WrestleMania 22. That's all I can give you. I didn't want to watch it. I didn't enjoy it. It's not right at all, and it's getting it down. As I didn't shout out the first Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania 21, though, I do want to give it some love at WrestleMania 22. And in many ways, maybe this one is even better. But it is Bobby Lashley, Matt Hardy, Finlay, Ric Flair, of all people, Shelton Benjamin, and RVD. And Shelton absolutely takes the crown here. He's running up ladders and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. This is one of the reasons people miss the Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania. It hit such highs, like a drug. People wanted it every year, and I'm giving it up. I also do want to mention the three-way between Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, and Kurt Angle for the World Heavyweight Championship. That is just 9 minutes of pure joy. Another match that is severely underrated. Now, I don't even remember this at WrestleMania 23. But you get the Kane versus the Great Khali. Now, there's no wrestler called the Kane. I just make Kane. But either way, who booked this shit? It also sold as a Raw versus SmackDown match, and that always sucks. And of course, because it's been 20 years since the Hulk Hogan Andre the Giant Slam, that's what we try and do with Kane and the Great Khali. And look, the Big Red Machine does do it, but then he loses. So I'm like, what good are you? Down. We do also enter our first small run here on this ridiculous ups and downs episode, because for the second time back to back, I'm giving it up to the Money in the Bank ladder match. It's also CM Punk, Edge, Finlay again, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Booker T, Randy Orton, and Mr. Kennedy. Kennedy, and the real cool thing about this is that these days, like 95% of these guys have gone on to be proper legends. It's also just absolute car wreck TV once again as well. You can't take your eyes away from it, which is the whole point. Give it in. So I really like WrestleMania 24 on a personal level because it's the first Mania I saw live with my Tooker sat in one of those seats. Although even back then in 2008, when we did Kane versus Chavo Guerrero for the ECW WWE title, and it went like 9 seconds, I thought that was a pile of baloney. I still think that right now. But I swear the whole time WWE is going, ECW is so crap. It's not what I want when you bring a brand back. Down. The Ric Flair Shawn Michaels match is still emotional too for all the obvious reasons. My up is actually going for the main event, The Undertaker versus Edge. Because they clearly go out there with a chip on their shoulder going, oh man, you don't think we can close this show? Yes, we can. And in many ways, you could call this Edge's peak. He puts on a hell of a performance, and I get a massive kick out of it, hence the up. Which brings us to WrestleMania 25, and let's just get it done. The up is obviously going to The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. Now, to cause some controversy, I actually think this one is better than the second one, but again, they should be pushed together as a pair. And I'll say this bit really quiet. If you force me to go all the way, I actually think their 1997 Hell in a Cell clash is the best, but don't say anything. Ultimately, though, this is the whole point because they just have the best chemistry ever. And if you've never seen this match, you should probably change it today. It is 25 or 30 minutes or so of absolute joy that will keep you guessing till the end and getting it up. Now, you may also think that I'm going to give the down to JBL versus Rey Mysterio because it only goes 20 seconds, but actually I'm not. And it's kudos to Bradshaw. He knew that he was super duper hurt. He knew he was going to take loads of time off, so he just let Rey whoops his ass. I tell you, helps Mysterio immensely. So instead, I shall give it to the Women's Battle Royal, mostly because it is won by Santina Marella. Now, there is some humor to this. There's also a much bigger talking point, but also, it's a battle royal, and it goes on for about, what, 6 minutes, maybe nine? It is so quick. I was shouting at the TV, how do you expect them to do anything? Just don't do the battle royal. Do some kind of stupid tag, down. Mania 26 has a familiar feel too, because there is a tag match between The Big Show and The Miz taking on R-Truth and John Morrison. This is the era where WWE just went, well, you're going to go with him, and you're going to go with him. And what are those shiny things around your waist? It's the WWE tag team titles. Yeah, we don't really care. They also only get 3 minutes. Did somebody say 3 minutes? This one actually made me feel sad deep down in my heart, but also very happy that in 2024, we actually treat these belts like they mean something, and otherwise it's just a trinket down. Even with what I said though, the up does have to go to Taker versus Shawn round two, especially because this is Shawn Michaels' last ever match. He never came back, he never did anything else, and if you think you saw him do something, you did not, and delete it from your brain. When we get to Mania 27, we come to an impasse. Because this show on large is remembered for two things. Either the abomination that was Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler with Steve Austin as the guest referee, or John Cena versus The Miz, where The Miz kind of played third wheel because The Rock was involved, but also in terms of WrestleMania main events, it didn't really feel like a main event. Also, that was just building up to WrestleMania 28's last match, which was going to be John Cena versus The Rock. Listen to the words that came out of my mouth. Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole is so bad, and it goes so long to the point you can see people's face in the crowd just pleading for this to be over. Even Austin is like, man, I don't want to be involved in this. What am I doing? But Michael Cole was a pretty good heel, but your lead commentator should never be a heel because there's a massive disconnect there. Down. Taker does come firing back here though, because he does have his no-holds-barred match with Triple H, which of course is the first of two of these back-to-back, and it's really good. I saw someone the other day saying, oh, this match is vastly overrated. I didn't think so. They kicked the crap out of each other. Getting it up. The only annoying bit is that during the whole build to this, nobody mentions the WrestleMania 17 match. We pretend that it didn't happen. It happened, damn it, I saw it. As we get to WrestleMania 28, and here's something you may not know about me. Do you know what match I really love just because it's so over the top and crazy? The Rock versus John Cena. I mean, I love the build, the promos, the fact they pissed each other off before we got to this thing. And I remember sitting there going, you know what? I don't actually know which way it's gonna go. Now, I wouldn't say the match is all that amazing, but it is a solid 3 out of 5, and sometimes, oddly, they can be the best matches, which doesn't make any sense. So I am gonna give it an up, but I do wanna shout out the round two of Triple H versus Taker, especially. Because it features one of the best near falls ever when Shawn Michaels super kicked the dead man right into a pedigree. That is still pretty damn badass. I suppose it does mean the down has to go to Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus as well in that classic 18 second affair. I find this quite difficult in hindsight because it did the world a good for Daniel Bryan, but that wasn't the point at the time. We were just pulling our pants down and going, ha ha ha, Bryan, we don't care about you. And as we have learned today, that was a stupid thing to do. I'm not saying you can't do a short match at WrestleMania, but I feel like the intentions here were totally wrong. What's getting it down? And I'm just gonna tell you, the best match for WrestleMania 29 is CM Punk versus The Undertaker. Now, some people these days like to pretend that Punk couldn't wrestle, which is an absolute fallacy, and he puts in such a damn good performance here, you start saying to yourself, oh my gosh, he's gonna defeat the streak. And you know what, in hindsight, maybe he should have done. I mean, the changes that would have made to the future would have been amazing, so it is getting it up. Actually, this WrestleMania is all right to watch, but I suppose the thing that disappointed me the most, even though that's way too over the top, would be Ryback versus Mark Henry. And look, it's not bad or anything, but I just expected more big men slapping man meat, and you get a little bit of big men slapping man meat, but they're never really allowed to pull the trigger. You should actually watch this if you do sit down to choose the whole show. Otherwise, I got to choose something to get it down. And of course, ain't nothing else getting an up, and in fact, a golden up when it comes to WrestleMania 30, except for Daniel Bryan finally getting his big moment. I mean, it is still awesome almost 10 years later, and seeing this entire crowd go, yes, 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 even though they just seen the Undertaker streak get defeated, well, that says all the things you need to know about the Yes Man. He was one of a kind, and the best ever, one of the best ever, golden up. This is yet another WrestleMania 2 where I was actually quite happy to sit through the whole thing and go, oh, I'm having a good time, which means we have to address the booking. Where did the down come? John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. Because Cena did not need to win this match. And if Bray had got the W, I tell you, it could have changed everything. And maybe the Eater's World character wouldn't have had to gone away. Sadly though, we all know the deal, especially when it comes to that Bray persona. WWE didn't get it at all. Down. Seth Rollins would then cash in his Money in the Bank at WrestleMania 31. This is still all-time stuff. Whoever came up with this needs a prize as well, because it solved so many issues. It got around the whole Roman Reigns fiasco. It meant Brock Lesnar was kind of protected, and it turned Seth into such a killer heel. He had such a good year during all of this, and I'm giving it an up. And I'll give it an up till the day that I die. You could even say that this was the best cash-in ever, maybe on par with Edge's, but that was the first one that we'd ever done it, so we were learning the rules. But honestly, this is a WrestleMania moment and then some. Amazingly too, I'm going to carry on my downs from WrestleMania 30. Once again, it's got to go to Bray Wyatt. And this has nothing to do with him, but of course he did face The Undertaker here. And once again, he should have won. Now really, this is just wrong place, wrong time. Because in no world was WWE going to let the dead man lose on back-to-back WrestleManias. But man, we really should have done. It would have changed the course of history. So it was just so ill thought out, and I'm going to say it once again. Don't ever think we realised what we had with this. Down. This one may be slightly unfair when it gets to WrestleMania 32, but I figured out what the down is. Some of the matches are just way, way too long. I suppose this is when WrestleMania started to overstretch things way too much, but Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker does not need to go 30 minutes. Triple H versus Roman Reigns goes 27 minutes. Chris Jericho versus AJ Styles could be a bit shorter, as could Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar. But that one only goes about 13 minutes. But Brock didn't even want to do this, and it's painfully obvious. Just give him 5 and get out of there. So there is the down, and what I enjoyed most about all of this is that triple threat match between Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch. I mean, at the time, it was super duper important, but also, they know exactly what they have to do, and they continue to open those doors. This is very, very good. We're back to Bray Wyatt with WrestleMania 33. Why did he never flubbing win? It is him versus Randy Orton, though, and I suppose the real disappointment is you realise that even though Bray had won the championship, it was just short-lived, so he could lose it at WrestleMania. I mean, Orton beats him in about 10 minutes, and we just mentioned all those longer matches. Why did this one get pooped on? Getting it down. When it comes to my up, though, it is going to Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar, which could be the best sub-5-minute match in all of wrestling history. I mean, it's like you're playing WWE 2K and you start with unlimited finishes and then you go, you hit me, I'll hit you. You hit me, I'll hit you. Then we'll keep doing that and someone will pin the other for a 1-2-3. Like injecting drugs into your arms. Don't do it, kids. And then we get to WrestleMania 34, also known as the Mania, where John Cena sat in the crowd. Good for him. I thought all that nonsense was fine and I enjoyed the impromptu match with The Undertaker, as I did The Bar taking on Braun Strowman and Nicholas. This still winds people up, but I'm sorry. Nicholas looks like the happiest kid ever. This is what wrestling's all about. Dreams come true. It also makes it quite a hard show to break down, because it's not like a great WrestleMania, but it's not a bad WrestleMania. It's slap bam right in the middle. With that said, everything regarding Roman Reigns is out of control at this point, to the point WWE the last minute say that Brock Lesnar should win. That annoyed him too, because the crowd shat all over it. So when he walks back, he threw the title at Vince McMahon, and all of this was just a mess when we could have made it so much easier and made somebody the Tribal Chief down. Thankfully, the up comes to me nice and easy because it is Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle taking on Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. I mean, this is one of the best debuts ever because Ronda looks so damn good, especially when she's punching the game. And don't forget too, The Rock was meant to be involved with this until film commitments got away. I suppose you could argue it could be better still, but either way, it is a laugh riot. Mania 35 is an easy one too, because I was there to experience it firsthand. It is too long. It is way too long. down. Now, I feel bad saying that because it is a privilege to be at WrestleMania, but it rained for like 3.5 hours. And after a while, you're all wet. We're in 8 hours of WrestleMania. You're like, I just want to go home. I know, it's a terrible thing to say, but I feel like this is a safe place and I'm sharing it. It's also the reason why we were able to justify two-night WrestleManias. And really, the up should go to the Becky Lynch main event, but it just comes too late in the show. And also, a few hours before this, you do get Kofi Mania and Kofi Kingston winning the WWE title, which is just as historic and important for obvious reasons. And my word, will this get your emotion gland going? It's also such a great match between him and Daniel Bryan. I'm giving it an up. When I watched this again, had tears in my damn eyes. Now we have to talk about WrestleMania 36. I'm just going to tell you this. None of it is good. None of it. I hate all of it. And if you try and watch it today, it's like you're watching a really aggressive funeral. So this is a massive, massive down, although I will asterisk this by saying, yes, of course, this was the pandemic era. So it's nobody's fault. That doesn't mean I have to enjoy it, and I don't. It is why having the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse match are so important, though, because they stick out like sore thumbs. They're just so damn creative and out of the box, excuse me, box-like structures. But also, it is the fare thee well to The Undertaker, and you couldn't have done it any more perfectly. I know we always wanted to see AJ Styles and Undertaker in the same ring, just to see what they could do, but for my money, this couldn't have gone any better. It is getting it up. Then at WrestleMania 37, we somehow go back to Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. How can this get on here twice? I mean, there is so much to talk about here, including people getting set on fire, Alexa Bliss popping out of box-like structures, weird goo, and Randy Orton just RKOing this guy and beating him like he was nine. So that shall always be a down for me, and of course, given the tragic passing of Bray Wyatt, people should be ashamed here. We did not treat him right at all. Thankfully, the up is way easy because, of course, on Saturday night in the main event, you do get Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks, which ties into what I was just talking about. This is a moment in time. This is an important thing. This is reminding you that representation is massively crucial to this world. And if you are into, like, tears and happiness and joy, you need to watch this even before they lock up. Sasha's crying and Bianca's crying and I start crying and just round of applause. This is what wrestling is all about, my friends. When we get to the impossible WrestleMania 38, so when it comes on the ups, on one hand, you have the return of Steve Austin, which is the greatest thing ever, but you also have the return of Cody Rhodes, which also is the greatest thing ever. Nostalgia is a powerful drug, though, so especially on night two when the glass broke from nowhere and Steve Austin just came out to stun everyone. I was in that crowd and I was 13 years old again. And I'm always going to be 13 years old when Steve Austin turns up, but given I've dropped the word, up. I'm going to come out with a weird down too, because I am not going to give it to Pat McAfee versus Vince McMahon. And that's because if you had any expectations for that match, well, you're to blame. Therefore, I am going to go with the fact that Drew McIntyre kicked out of Baron Corbin's End of Days. Now, Baron had protected this for ages. And actually, when you go through the build again, they don't make a big deal about this. And after the fact, we don't make a big deal about this. So it just doesn't feel like it was the right time to do it. I mean, Drew should have come out with a megaphone going, ha ha, I kicked out of the End of Days. So yeah, because I'm a massive geek, you just upset me a little bit. It's getting it down. Which brings us to our last Mania in this journey, WrestleMania 39, and the up is staring me right in the face. It's the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the tag team titles. Now, I do want to point out that Cody versus Roman is way better than people give it credit for. I understand why we don't lean towards this. Because Rhodes didn't win. The emotion of the tag match, though, is so damn good, because that's what you want from WrestleMania. You want to see your hero standing tall. I'm going to say it again, so you can feel all warm and fuzzy in your tum-tum. You know, real shame is we didn't really carry this on for much longer after WrestleMania. Still giving it up. I think the down as well has to go to the impromptu match between The Miz and Snoop Dogg. And it's nothing to do with those guys. Fair play they thought on their feet. But seeing Shane McMahon collapse after that leapfrog and just go down injured is one of the most embarrassing and cringe-worthy things you could hope to see in wrestling. It's like watching a damn episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I just feel so bad for the guy. So once again, fair play to Snoop for thinking on his feet. As far as I'm concerned, I never want to see this again. Down. There you go, my friends. There is an up and a down and some other nonsense in there from all the WrestleManias, but now you have to make sure you get in those comments and let me know where did I go right and where did I go wrong and what magic moments did I not probably intentionally mention. Also, click the ups and downs video on the screen to get my up-to-date modern thoughts on professional wrestling. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. And make sure you enjoy WrestleMania 40 as well. Kind of terrifying. We have got to the big 4-0, but that's all the more reason to enjoy it. Have a lovely day, my friends. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.